Because when you listen to the wrong kind of music, it's going to vex and grieve the Holy Spirit. And so I need to encourage you tonight. And that's what I want to speak on a little bit tonight. I want you to look into the book of Philippians for a few minutes tonight. I am conscious on Sunday nights now that you have already been at church for an hour and a half or so. And I'm conscious of that. And I want to be a help to you and a blessing to you. But I want you to look in Philippians chapter 4. This is not anything new. It's just that the Spirit of the Lord said you need to reinforce some things that you said this morning to help them to maintain their joy. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, I believe it is, Paul referred to himself as being a fellow helper to their joy, a helper of their joy. Are you a helper to anybody's joy? You know, there are joy robbers. And they do like to hang out at church, by the way. Joy robbers. They do. They'll rob you of your joy. Remember those three people in Luke chapter number 10 that I preached to you a few times about which one of these three, which one is me? You've got the takers, they'll rob you of your joy. They'll rob you of your joy. They just see somebody happy and they say, let's suck the life out of that person right there if we possibly can. And everything is always a crisis. Everything is always a drama. They're always evil surmising and always reading things into things that are not there. And they feel it absolutely essential that they comment on other people's lives when it's none of their business. That's right. And they'll question everybody's motives and the things that they're doing or not doing. They just cannot be quiet. And they are robbers, thieves of other people's joys. Then you got the keepers. That's the people who, they don't care either way. They're going to leave you alone. They don't care if you're sad, glad, mad. They don't care. They just come and go. And then you got some, though, that are givers. And they are looking to be a blessing, to encourage one another, and to help somebody that's hurt, wounded, needs a word of exhortation, encouragement. Say, hey, I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate you, sister. You're a blessing. Because they don't hear that much during the week. And so it's a blessing to be appreciated. All right? But I want you to look in Philippians 4. If there's ever a book that's been written about joy, it is the book of Philippians. Often he says, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, rejoice evermore. And so God wants me to have joy. The Son wants me to have joy. The Holy Spirit wants me to have joy. The Bible is written that I might have joy. And so the only one that doesn't want me to have joy is the one who has no joy, which is the adversary. But you know, there are actually people as well that they rob themselves of joy with some of the things that they do. The Bible talks about people who oppose themselves. I looked up that word helpers of our joy and I said, okay, let me look up some antonyms of the word helper. And some of the antonyms of that word was enemy, adversary, and thief. Do you realize that sometimes you are the reason why that you lose your joy? Jesus did say, let no man take it from you. And boy, I tell you, there's folks that do. And there are things that do happen in life that do grieve us. But may it be just for a season. And heaviness. May it just be for a moment. May it not be your general disposition. May people not get used to looking at you always having a sad face. So that when we see you and you are downcast, we know that something's not right. And we may not get it up in your business, but we'll know that you need to be prayed for because you've got a burden on your heart. You remember when Nehemiah went before the king? He was a cupbearer, and every time he was supposed to go before the king, he was to wear a smile. Because you know, business people, they don't like a negative spirit among their workers. They like for the day to start off good and people with a good attitude and etc. So Nehemiah from aforetime had worked there for a while, and every time he come before the king to bring something on that plate, he always had a good disposition. But the king looked at him and said, okay, what's up? He said, something's wrong with you. He said, your countenance, it reveals to me that something has happened in your life. and something's wrong. And obviously he liked Nehemiah. Obviously, because the way the book is written, the king gave him great favor and trusted him. By the way, the king's life was in his hands, because he tasted the food and the wine to make sure there was no poison in those things before he presented it to the king. So he was valuable. And the king let it, and he found favor with the king. But my point is, here is that Nehemiah had not been that way aforetime. And later on when he wrote his book, the Bible says, he said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so you're looking at a man, if you want to be a leader, if you want God to use you, be a helper of people's joy. And be an encourager and be a builder. And help folks in your life rather than always being like sad and mad and bad. I can't think of any other things maybe that I could say about you. But I'm just simply saying you don't have to live that way. You say, Brother Roger, you don't. But here's the reason why Nehemiah was sad though, Brother Lorne. He had a reason to be sad for a moment. And it was because of he heard of the condition of his family and his members that were going on back in Jerusalem. And you know what will make your heart sad is when your family's not doing well, or maybe members of your family have made bad decisions. And that's a grievous thing. Does it not say that the father of a fool hath no joy? And it does say even that the mother who bare him has bitterness in her soul. And so do you agree that family members can impact our joy, at least at the beginning, until we can kind of get stabilized and get ourselves where we need to be mentally and spiritually with God? You know, I think about sometimes we talk about sons and daughters making bad decisions, but what if your son and your father makes bad decisions? There was a man by the name of Jonathan who had a father who had fallen off the wagon, gotten bitter at God, got away from God, and he humiliated Jonathan in front of everybody. And also the Bible says Jonathan had to testify and say, my father had troubled the land. And sometimes it is our parents that are not doing what's right. It's not always the children who are not doing what's right. But sometimes it's the mother, sometimes it's the father that is not doing right. So the child is sad. When adults make bad decisions, children automatically are tremendously impacted by that. And so if you're a parent and you're making bad decisions and bringing trouble into your house, and then you get on to your child for being sad, who do you think that's on? Amen? Did you bring some joy into the house yourself? Amen? Well, look in Philippians chapter number 4. Let's look over some things that we have looked over in the past, but again, I must remind you of things. My pride as a preacher, and I hate pride, I despise pride. You know why? Because I know that God resists the proud. And I need God. I want God. I want to walk with God. I want to walk humbly before the Lord. But I got so many layers of it. Sometimes I can't even recognize it sometimes till it pops up. And God says, I don't like that. And sometimes when I'm stilling and the Spirit of God says, I want you to deal with that. And I said, Lord, I've preached on that 10 times. He said, yeah, but you've been there 30 years. They don't remember what you preached 3 weeks ago. And he said, it doesn't matter if you preach it this morning. You do what I say. Because there are people who visit, and there are people who come, and there are things that you don't remember, and there are things that have happened in your life since the last time you heard it, and then God reinforces it. So I have covered Philippians 4 several times, but I want to look at it tonight from how that you can maintain your joy and how to avoid some things. You look in chapter 4, verse number 1. I really want to get to verse number 8. But I want you to look in verse number 1. He says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy. And it is true. It is true that you impact the joy of your pastor and your preacher. He says, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Now, when I see that in verse number 1, let's apply that. Is it that God wants you to stand fast in the Lord? Now, that means I need to see you at church, and I need to see you with your Bible, and I need to see you interested in what's being said. I need to see that you are not only receiving it, but that you are doing and you're believing it, and that you're going to do something with it. and that you're not easily moved by the winds that blow across our land. So if you're going to maintain your joy, you're going to have to stay in your place. You're going to stay in church, stay in the house of the Lord. And if you lose your joy, well, you're not going to find it out there. You're liable to find it back up here. Like what David said, "Return unto me the joy of my salvation, that I may rejoice in thee." Look in verse number 2. "I beseech Udias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord." Now what you need to do here now is settle the quarrels that you're having with another person. Seek peace and pursue it. Everybody's not going to settle with you, but you can do what you can do to seek peace. You can seek this in your family, and sometimes your family will not agree. You can seek peace at church with church members, and sometimes they say, I don't want to talk to you, or I don't want to deal with this right now. But you need to approach this. And by the way, if you want to maintain your joy, you approach it with humility. And you say, "Brother, listen." And you don't say "if." You say, "Obviously, I've done something. And I want to know what it is so I can fix it. You tell me what I need to do to bridge this gap between us for Christ's sake." And if you approach it with that attitude, now you put the ball in their court. And you can go, you'll still maybe be a little trouble when you lay down at night because maybe they didn't receive it. But at least you know between you and the Holy Spirit, you have done what you know to do to try to fix the situation. You understand? You do what you can do in those circumstances. But you'll notice in verse number 2, for some reason, he's mentioning two ladies. Two ladies in the church that are having issues. Now, ladies, you will rob yourself of your joy if you do not seek peace. The Bible says that charity, love, covers a multitude of faults and a multitude of sins. Don't let another person rob you of your joy. And don't be the person that causes the joy to be robbed in another individual's heart and life by not being willing. You say, "No, I just want them to soak a while. I want them to hurt a while. I don't want to fix this right now." Well, that's a bad attitude. It sure is. And one day you're going to get what's coming back to you for doing that kind of stuff. I promise you. All right? So I'm just saying, seek peace. If you want to maintain your joy, you seek peace. You settle quarrels where you can. All right, verse 3. "I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my other fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life." To maintain the joy of the Lord, you absolutely must become a participator in the work of the Lord and not simply a spectator in the work of the Lord. You say, "Well, I don't know what to do." Well, you just come, you ask God, "How can I be a blessing?" And you volunteer. And you know what? If you volunteer, it may not be what you want to do, but it's what needs to be done. And if you'll do what needs to be done at the moment, the Lord may elevate you and let you do what you want to do in the house of the Lord. You say, "Well, you don't realize how important I am." No, I don't. Now, you are important to me. You're important to the Lord, but you're not that important. For a man to think so highly of himself, more than he ought to think, he's deceiving himself. And so the Lord wants to use you, but be a servant. And I realize there's some things, especially as you get up in age or something, you just can't do anymore. But you ought to want to and be willing to. Amen? I mean, I wouldn't want to some of our senior citizens out there in the heat mowing the grass and weed eating. I wouldn't want that. Would you? Amen? Surely you don't. Amen. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I want you to know something. Again, it has to do with you participating, getting engaged in it, being involved in it. And I was in a meeting again last week, and I was made aware of a situation just inadvertently of a lady that had been going to church, but she was just attending church. And then she had missed a few weeks, and she was upset that nobody was calling her a visitor because she had missed the services. And those kind of people I look at and say, okay, you want people to visit you, you want people to call you, But you yourself never visit anybody, and you yourself never call anybody. You come to take. That's what you do. You come to get. That's what you do. You don't come to serve. You don't come to participate. You come to find fault with everything that everybody is trying to do. And when you don't get attention, then you get upset and blame the church. And you know what she said? I just don't feel like I fit in there. I don't think anybody cares about me. That was what she had said. Can I tell you, that is a selfish, self-centered, childish attitude about your church. I promise you, these people right here will love on you and help you when you need it. They may not every time you want it, but they will when you need it. And that's what you want. Okay? Now let's move on. Look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You've got to stay focused. He's got this like a hinge on a door, right in the middle. You're swinging back and forth on these things, because what we sang just a moment ago, how deep the Father's love for us, and the old rugged cross. You got to stay focused where you were, what Christ did for you, and where you're going. And now you have a purpose in life. And you got to look beyond those around you. And the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord. God will not disappoint you. He will not fail you. He will be faithful. Stay focused. Now look at verse number 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now this is where you don't let a good thing turn into a bad thing. Again, we could take a lot of things about this, young men, young ladies. I've told you things about your phone and et cetera. But let's just go move on beyond that. There are some things that God's blessed you with, whether it be whatever you use to enjoy life, whatever you enjoy doing, camping, fishing, golfing, shopping. My wife has quit shopping. Well, no, she hasn't. But UPS, FedEx, they come our way. But she likes to shop. You know one of the reasons why she likes to shop? And I enjoy watching her shop, because for about 20 years, about 15, 18 years in Louisiana and Mississippi, we didn't have two dimes to rub together. She sold all the kids' clothes. She made everything that we had around the house. And now we have a little bit, and so I want her to spend a little bit. Amen? But I also want her to use some moderation. And so I want her to shop more at Academy. I think that would be more moderate, more balanced. If she would shop at Academy more, I think the Lord would bless her for that. Let all your moderation be known unto all men. Don't let something that you really enjoy become excessive. It'll rob you of your joy. Now, it's going to make you happy for a moment, but it's going to wind up. You're going to start missing church. You're going to start being too busy, and you're going to start spending money that you don't have in places you shouldn't. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. Stay balanced. Don't let a good thing turn into a bad thing. Don't do that. All right? Look in verse number 6. Now, verse 6, 7, and 8 is where I want to get to, because this is where primarily you're going to lose your joy. And it's going to be in your heart and in your mind. This is where it's going to happen. That's where the battleground is. I can have a great day at church, lay down at night. If I don't guard my thoughts, I can rob myself of the joy that I had in the church service. I can do that. I can get in trouble all by myself and lose my joy without you being around. I can do that. Now watch what he says. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now what he's asking me to do here now is to bear my own burden and to pour my heart out to him. Be careful for nothing. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it does not take you where you want to go. Worry Anybody here ever worry about anything? I mean, do you really have a problem with... I know some of you young fellows, y'all don't worry about anything. Except maybe for being so ugly, you probably worry about that, right? No, I'm just kidding. Your parents worry about you being ugly, I'm just telling you, straight up. I'm just kidding. You know I'm just picking at you, right? Okay. I appreciate you being up here in the front row with your Bibles open and listening to the Word of God. I do. But don't expect to sit up here and expect not to be every once in a while picked on. Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I worry about people, and I don't want to, but I do. Did you know that wisdom brings with it sorrow? It does, you know, because you can read things, you can see things, you understand the people's decisions and where it's going to take them. And so you sit there and you lay there and you think about, man, if they keep going this direction, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen to their marriage. This is what's going to happen to their children. This is what's going to happen to them spiritually. So it's hard sometimes to turn that off. It is. So he says, be careful for nothing, though. He says, but in everything. So if I'm sitting there thinking about that, what should I do instead of worry? I should be talking to God instead of talking to myself. And I have sick and tired of talking to myself because self never has the right answers. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And then I can come in there and say, with thanksgiving, and let my request be made known unto God. Now this is so critical here, because I mentioned this morning what you neglect to do, the church cannot resurrect in your life every week. So you're going to have to guard. Listen, the battleground is between your ears and in your heart. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds and bringing every thought under the obedience of Christ. So look at this. He says, I want you to pull your heart out to me, start talking to me about these things, whatever it is. Whether you be a teenager, whether you be an older gentleman or lady, whether you be mid-age, it doesn't matter. He says, come and talk to me about it. And then you look in verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse number 6, by the way, Brother Terry, is an act of humility. Because I'm going to God because I can't fix this. I can't control it. So I'm going to talk to the Lord about it. And then God in return says, this is what I wanted you to do, and I wanted you to share your heart with me. And I wanted you to pray to me and talk to me about this. And then you told me what your requests are. He said, and I think that when I let God know my request, Brother Lorne, I do think that he considers my request. He doesn't give me everything that I request, because he only gives me that which is good, and that which is good for me and my family and my church. I only think I know sometimes what is best and what is good. But the Lord always does. Now, verse 7, the response is, all right, I'm going to give you some peace. And with that peace is going to come some joy. All right? And look in verse number 8. Now, I really hammer this just for a few minutes tonight. He said, finally, brethren, this is reinforcement. Whatsoever things are true, all right, and what is honest, what is just, what is pure, what is lovely, and what kind of report? A good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he said, you think on these things. Take your Bible, turn over to 2 Thessalonians. Keep your hand right there. Look in 2 Thessalonians in chapter number 2. Notice something here. Now, I don't have time to give you all of the details of the context of this passage, but I want to show you something that was happening in a practical way that happens to you today. And it's verse 2, but let's read verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. He's talking about the rapture and the differences of that and the day of the Lord. But in verse 2, that you be not soon shaken, where? Are you saying then that maybe some reports that you're hearing, seeing, reading is shaking your mind and robbing you of the peace of God and the joy of the Lord? And I'm going to talk to you about your cell phones. I'm going to talk to you about your Facebook. Talk to you about all the social media that infiltrates your mind and your thought life. Everything that you see and hear, especially about preachers and churches and movements, be very careful that you do not become a garbage can that people are dumping garbage into so that you will hit like or you'll respond. You got to be very careful. And you also are going to have to vet some of the things that you read and see and hear. That whole social media thing, it hardly ever, especially among independent Baptists, Southern Baptists, conservative believers, rarely will you ever, ever, ever see or hear a good report. And so in your mind, you start thinking that every pastor is a child molester, every pastor is an embezzler, every pastor is a thief, every pastor is a womanizer, when what you don't see is that there are tens of thousands of churches like this one and others like us who are going the right direction, doing the right things, but in your mind you're thinking, boy, it's just like what they say about the Democrats when they blow up anything that goes bad in America. It's Trump's fault and we're falling apart. We're the worst country that's ever been created on the face of the earth. And they a little bitty a piece of them blows everything out of proportion. And when it comes to men of God and churches and ministries, if you're not careful, you'll get up in the morning and you'll have a cup of coffee and read your Bible and you'll be thanking God for your wife, your children, your job, your health, everything that God's given around you, and then all of a sudden you check and somebody sent you a message, somebody sent something to you on Messenger, somebody sent something to you about what went on in America, and all of a sudden you're all worked up inside as if you've got to fix every problem that goes on around the world, and you can't do that. You got to stay focused. Now watch what he says. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Now any time that a preacher falls that I know, I am troubled. I'm not going to be like an ostrich and stick my head in the sand. Okay? But there's only so much I can do. I'll tell you what I won't do. I won't bring all of that in here. Because you came here to hear the good word of God and to be edified and instructed by the Bible. Not for me to rail on everybody around the country that's a piece of trash. And there are men doing that today. And you know, they're sort of like the Tasmanian daredevil. Any of y'all ever seen him on cartoons from years ago? If you haven't, ask your parents to find him for you in the archives. And look at him. And that's what a lot of preachers are, Tasmanian daredevils. Man, he's going around in the world. He is spinning around and getting nothing done. And preachers are in a lather of the day, and the sheep are going home hungry and not helped, but maybe fretting on the fact that how fragile the church is and that it's going to fall apart, forgetting that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And that no matter how sorry and wicked this generation is, God always has a remnant that has not bowed their knee to Baal. And God has always raised up a generation in a generation that will serve the Lord, that will stand fast by the things that belong to God. So we just simply need to strengthen those things which remain and not allow all of that to rob us of our joy. And look what he says here. He says here in verse number 2, that to be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. And he's just simply saying, hey, whether you get, however you're getting your news, however you're getting your information, whatever it is that's impacting your mind, be very careful. Look back over in Philippians 4 and I'm done. All right? Look at this. Look in verse number 8. I'll tell you, Paul got mad at some of those men that were coming into those churches and troubling them and robbing them of their joy. A legalist will do that. You know, you can't never can satisfy a legalist or somebody that is ultra, ultra, ultra conservative, because they want everybody to live just exactly like they do. And they are miserable, so they want to make sure that you are. And they will find fault with you no matter what. You can't even have it over to your house. Because I mean, if you had a vase sitting there by your table, they'd think it was a spittoon you're dipping tobacco or something. I mean, they find fault with everything that you do. Look in verse 8. You say, well, nobody ever invites me over. Well, there could be a reason. Just by the way that you carry on at church. Wow. Come on, man. Look in verse 8. He said, are you listening to what's true? Now, I've learned that a lot of things that are said about some men and women are just simply not true when you check out the facts. It's just not true. Now, here I am been fretting over something, then even so. Amen. And whatsoever things are honest and just and pure and lovely, and I certainly like this thing, is it a good report? Wouldn't it be a blessing? You realize every time there's a storm in the Gulf that's about the size of a quarter, we're fixing to lose everything here. Why is that? Because fear sells. And if it bleeds, it leads. And if it's advertising, they are merchants of discontent. You've got a beautiful home. You've got a beautiful family. The Bible says if you have clothes and you have food, you got somewhere to lay your head down, you are wealthy. Be content. Do your best and be content with that. Don't listen to people that are always pushing you to be discontented with what you have. He says, is it a good report? Is there any virtue in it? If there be any praise, and by the way, this does not, let's balance this now with people who may try to steal my joy that are evil. That's why he said in chapter 3 and verse number 1 and 2, he said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And look at verse number 2, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. There are things you have to watch out for and people you have to watch out for. I've watched this in prison. I've watched Brother Lewis develop a good culture there in that classroom on Monday nights of about 70, 80 people, sometimes 90 men come in there. And he's taught them to trust the Bible and to believe what the Bible says. That's hard to do when these men are got so much time to think and read. And they're getting books placed in their hands that have something that upsets them and gets something working in them. And then they come in, they want to share it with others. And it causes trouble. It robs those men of the joy that they could have in the Lord if they would just ask this question. If you hear something tonight, if you hear something this week, did you hear what so-and-so did? Ask them, do you know that that's a fact? Do you know that that's true? Well, no, but I do trust so-and-so. Okay, that's a good place to start. If you can trust them, But how about if he didn't say, well, okay, well, let's go talk to them and ask them where they got their information. Well, no, I don't really want to get involved. Excuse me? What did you just do? You just poured that in my cup. Amen. You think on these things, verse number 8. Think on these things and you can help. It'll help you maintain your joy. Your joy. I'm not saying there won't be some things come your way that won't discourage you for a moment, maybe for a day, maybe for a week. But don't live in that. Come up out of it. Trust the Lord. Pull your heart out to God. Trust Him. And may the Lord help you, because there are some things that grieve us or make us sad that are long-term and may not go away. So we've got to find how to overcome that. Because some things are not going to change that we want changed in our country, our family. And we have to learn not to allow it to dictate to us our level of joy if we possibly can. Amen? So be careful on those phones. Watch what you put into your mind. Quit spending so much time on violence and mild pornography. And then wonder why in the world you can't sit still in church for 5 minutes or 45 minutes while the preacher's preaching. And then you wonder why you're so jittery and you can't enjoy anything. Do you understand? You got to watch what you put in here. What's in here impacts this. Your spirit, your joy, and that goes for television, that goes for computers, that goes for telephones. Be careful. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. And be careful, oh, big mouth, what you say. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for your love and mercy toward us. Lord, I don't want to. I don't want to be a sourpuss. I don't want to be an old bitter man. I do want to stay close to you, Lord. And Lord, when the bad news comes, Lord, I don't want to ever deny the truth. And sometimes some things that are true are sad. But oh God, help me, I pray, to not let it determine my day, my disposition, how I treat my wife and my children and my church family. God, help me, I pray, to look beyond man and to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. My hope and trust be in thee and not in man. In Christ's name we ask these things. Amen.